You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We really appreciate every one of you making the effort to come out. For some of you on a night when you don't usually come out or may have other commitments, we're encouraged that so many are here from the 6 p.m. congregation. We've encouraged you to be here, but you may have perhaps already perceived that we haven't told you too much about what we'll be doing tonight. Actually, there's good reasons for that, and perhaps as the evening proceeds, you'll understand a bit more about why that is. It's an important evening. I'd say even a serious evening. And so please listen carefully. Please allow yourself to reflect on what you're hearing. Please allow yourself to even be aware of your own feelings and your own thoughts about what you're hearing tonight as you listen. Please know that we love every member of this community equally and very strongly, and that we're acting out of love for all the members of this community equally. We have a conviction that God has a great future together for all of us. All of us are in this room together tonight. We have a great confidence that God has a future for us together. I might just make a couple of comments. We do welcome all of you here. Rod and Maggie, we welcome you. You're not often, although you are occasionally part of 6 p.m., but you lead a community group where everyone else in the community group is a 6 p.m.ers. So we thank you for your pastoral concern in being here tonight. Amanda has for some years been a very regular member of 6 p.m., not quite as regular in more recent times, but being on the ministry staff, we welcome you as well, Amanda. In terms of the program tonight, Mark, then John, then I, and then Mike are going successively to give a presentation running over the next half hour or so. After that, we'll move into small groups just for 10 minutes or so. What we'll be doing in the small groups is seeking to formulate questions that perhaps come to your mind as a consequence of the presentation. Then we'll break for supper, have a chance to just chat, and then we'll come back together after supper and we'll hear those questions that have come up and hopefully have some helpful answers to the questions before we conclude the night in prayer. I'd like to give just a brief sketch of the journey that's led us to tonight. Some of you will be aware that back in 2012 and in 2013, the vestry, the church committee, had a number of sessions thinking about vision and planning and strategies for the future of the church. This year, we've been working with a diocesan consultant in a structured program of vision setting and future direction setting for a church. There's a group called the Mission Action Group here in the parish, which is mainly the vestry with one or two other people contributing as well. And we've been thinking about 5, 10, 15 year plans and how we can move forward as a church and what sort of church we want to be. Part of that program is a thing called Pathways. You may have heard of this Pathways thing. Basically, the concept behind Pathways is that we think of the pathway that any individual might move along in going from a point of first contact as an outsider with Christchurch, some sort of contact somewhere, moving through into being involved and fully integrated, becoming a member of Christchurch, becoming a mature Christian, actively involved in ministry of some sort in the life of the church. Now that's a pathway. And we think about what we might need to do as a church in order to help anyone move successively each step all the way along. Now, in looking at the pathways, that's led us to think about the sort of church we are and the sort of church we want to be. Over the last 3 months or so, four people, Don and me and Mark and Mike, have had a number of meetings where we've been specifically thinking about 6 p.m. We've been thinking about what would be the best way forward for 6 p.m. here at Christchurch. And that's led us to the point of the presentation that we've got tonight. Now let me begin with a prayer before I invite Mark to begin the presentation. Let's pray, shall we? Our God, majestic Lord, gracious Saviour, we praise you and thank you for who you are. You've shown us that you love and care for every individual that you've made. We praise you and thank you that you have given us the gospel of grace, the news of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, light of the world, given for us, dying in our place, setting us free. We thank you for bringing this gospel to each one of us here, and by your Spirit for stirring up faith in us. We praise you and thank you for the church of Christ, for the way in which you bring us together and build us together into one body, into one community. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the personal journey of every person here in this room, of every person who's part of 6pm. We praise you and thank you that you are working in each one, not only building up faith, but also building up ministry and helping us to serve one another together. And we thank you and praise you for the journey of this 6pm congregation so far, for all that we've experienced together over the years. Different people have come and gone, and how you've used everyone as part of building up the life of the church. And so, Father, we pray that you will guide our thinking, guide our responses, guide our understanding, and guide our hearts as we consider together tonight the way forward for this church. And we pray in confidence in Jesus' name. Amen. So now I'd like to invite Mark.
Well, very cryptic so far. Okay, so we started looking at 6pm, the four of us, because we wanted to know what defined us so that we could work out how we could grow together in the future, both in number as well as in maturity in Christ. So we began by asking ourselves questions like, what do we look like as a community? How are we working as a team? What challenges will we each face in the future? And how can we as a church support each other in these? And more specifically, what is our mission field for external growth? After a lot of discussion, we came up with an understanding of where we are as a community, where we are currently headed, and how we can aim to grow. And it can be summarised like this. Whilst as a community we are working better as a team than we ever have, our average age is increasing. The overall size of our congregation is not growing. And when we do attract new people, we are replacing people who have left the church with new people who are like us, who remain at the church, rather than rebirthing our congregation from a specific mission field, like university. Therefore, we're all getting older and moving forward through life stages together. And 6pm's current external growth opportunities are also for people like us. I'm going to unpack that a bit to give you an understanding of how we got to this conclusion. If we cast our eyes back 5 years, the average age of a Christchurch 6pm congregation member was an early to late teens. Now it's late to mid-20s to mid-30s. And we've all gotten older together as a congregation. While some people have left Christchurch over the past 5 years, others have joined. And the people who are coming in mirror those who remain in both age and life stage. We are moving through life as a community, and now our community is essentially one of working adults rather than studying young adults. Positively, we are growing in maturity in Christ as a community, and as a community, we are more loving and more caring and more outward focused than we have ever been. We praise God for that. But while we are growing in maturity, we're not growing in size, and we believe this is essentially because we haven't been intentional about growth. There's never really been a clear strategy implemented for how we replace the people who leave, which is why we have begun the Ken Morgan Pathways consultation process. This process with Ken leads us to see that when we look at 6pm, that we're not running a service that has a targeted life, age or stage, such as a university service, which means we don't have specific pathways through which we can attract new members from specific mission fields in the ways that some churches, say St Jude's do, who run a successful university ministry through their connections with Swinburne. Rather, instead of an age-specific targeted mission field for growth, our mission field is the people who we see every day, people we work with, dance with, run with, play sport with. And we think about these relationships and the opportunities they offer. The defining thing is that they are all for people who are currently like us today. For example, 5 years ago, we attracted people who were uni students like us, and now we attract young workers like us. The Ken Morgan process got us thinking about specific pathways. We came up with two for 6 p.m. The first is an age-resetting mission, such as university students, to ensure that the average age of the congregation remains the same for the next 15 years. Or, alternatively, we can leave it the way it is now and try to intentionally attract people like us, but the congregational age will continue to get older as we get older. Neither of these are really an option if we want to grow as a community together. I'll pass on to John, hopefully explains it more.
Thanks, Mark. G'day, everyone. So our overriding goal as we considered the future of 6 o'clock was, how can we ensure that we can continue to move through life together in a way that will allow all of us in this community to flourish, both individually and as a whole, for the sake of our own maturity in Christ and for the sake of the gospel in the wider community? That was our overriding goal as we did all of this considering. And so after much discussion, reflection and prayer, when considering this goal in the light of the reality that Mark's just shared with us, that we are an ageing congregation, we find ourselves facing some significant problems right now, which means the status quo is not viable into the future. One obvious example of this is that people in this community, which we can't avoid, are going to start having kids. And as a community, we have to be real about that. This is not an announcement about me. I'm a man. Men don't have babies. Men even. But we do have to be real about this as a community. Even though I, as a man, am not making any announcements tonight, we as a community are getting to that stage where it's going to start happening. So we thought about having a creche in the evenings. We thought about doing kids' church at night. But what we found out when we went and talked to parents who've actually got children is that kids don't really cope with going out at 6 o'clock at night. I believe the phrase, the witching hour, came up more than once. So we have to be real. Those starting families in the next 5 to 10 years will not be meeting with us at 6 p.m. If we just let 6 p.m. continue to run its course over the next 5 years, no matter what happens, we won't stay together as a community. We won't continue to move through life together, which, as Mark said, has been a defining reality, a defining truth for this community for the last 5 years. We are all getting older together, and we have been for 5 years. And so we've hit a critical stage in the life of our community where change is going to happen. And we realise that we can either be proactive about that, changing for all of our good now, or we can do nothing and watch it happen around us. We believe for the good of all our community, for everyone at 6 p.m. therefore, that now is the time to act in some way. And so in a nutshell, that's why we're all here tonight. In all of our discussions, reflections and prayer, our goal has been to ensure that all of this community is supported and enabled to flourish. To quote High School Musical, we're all in this together. But it's precisely because we want this to be a community where we can all flourish together for the next 15 years that we don't think it's viable to continue with the status quo. We are no longer, even though we may have started 10 years ago, as a university congregation. We are not, we don't have ties into Swinburne like we used to. We don't have ties into university demographics like we used to. We are all getting older. So neither of these two possibilities works. So given all this, we realise that we need to actually stop thinking about 6 p.m. and take a step back and give ourselves a completely blank slate for Christchurch. To think about how this church can best help both who we all are today and who we will be in the future to flourish. What do we, as a group of people at this stage in life, need in the next 5, 10 and 15 years? What challenges will we, as a group of people, face? How will we be served best as we meet together? These are the kind of questions that we found ourselves asking as we stared at a blank slate. Andrew's going to come up now and share with us the framework for the future that we've come up with for Christchurch and this community. And later Mike's going to unpack that a little bit for us as to how it might look.
Yes, I am about to continue the presentation, but I actually wanted to suggest we just pause for a moment. I think already Mark and John have said some important things. It may be helpful just to take a moment, just 1 minute, to just quietly reflect on what's been said so far, and even to try and be aware of what you think of what's been said so far and how you feel about it. I might just take a moment just to sit quietly, and then I'll say a short prayer before we move on to the next bit. Let's pray. We want your glory and praise, O Lord God. Each one of us here tonight desires to honour you, Lord Jesus. Whatever our various thoughts and feelings are right now, Lord, we want to honour you. And we want this church, this congregation, to honour you, our Saviour and Lord. And so please lead us forward for your glory. Amen. So here we are, Christchurch Hawthorne, 6 p.m. A bunch of dedicated people loving each other, wanting to serve Christ, seeking to build one another up, wanting to reach out to friends and colleagues and family members and others. And we know that Christchurch Hawthorne also includes a 10:30 congregation, also made up of dedicated people, people loving each other, wanting to serve Christ, wanting to build up one another, wanting to reach out to friends and colleagues and others. And indeed, a good number of the people at 10:30 are adults, very similar in so many ways to 6 p.m.ers. After all the consultations and careful research and discussion and prayer, the conclusion we've reached is that there's no longer a compelling reason for these two congregations to be separate. There's so much that the two have in common. The time is coming for the two congregations to have one future. In short, our framework for moving forward is that two congregations should become one. The current 6 p.m. congregation and the current 10:30 should become one united and missional church community, building up one another to maturity in Christ and fostering relationships beyond our community for the sake of the gospel. Let me clarify why this is the plan. Here's three reasons. First, theologically, there you are. We believe that one congregation better expresses the diversity in unity which should always characterise Christ's people. This should always be the case. Wherever Christ's people come together, we should be trying to express diversity and unity. Let me just read out a few verses from the Bible, from Romans 12. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Something of the diversity that comes together in unity. And from Ephesians 4, a powerful collection of just a few words expressing the unity that is called upon us as Christ's people. Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And those of you taking notes, you might want to jot down 1 Corinthians 12 as well, a whole chapter that's talking about diversity in unity. Now, there are appropriate times and places for disparate services, for demographically distinct individual congregations and services. For example, in trying to reach a university group, such as was the case here some years past. But that's no longer the case here. And in general, we should expect normally and usually that the best form of service is to have one whole congregation that's demographically and in other ways diverse in its composition, but expressing the unity that Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 are calling us to. That's theology, and it's true and important. A second reason is that we see a larger congregation with both more people in the room and more diversity in the room. It'll be a more exciting and richer community. This means that for each of us, there'll be more people and more diverse people to encourage us and to minister to us. We've sometimes acknowledged the need for and the benefits of intergenerational mentoring. This will allow it to be a reality. And because the gathering will be both larger and richer in its diversity, it will be more attractive to visitors. And we will feel more confident to invite friends and work colleagues and neighbours. And visitors and newcomers who do come will be more inclined to want to join us. The third reason is that we see a broader, deeper congregational life that presents a more comprehensive spectrum of ministries, and so there'll be a greater variety of opportunities for ministry. And therefore, it will be reasonable to expect that each of us will be able to be involved in ways that match our particular gifts. Now, in a moment, Mike will speak of some of the practical aspects of implementing this common future. But just before that, I've got a couple of important observations before I conclude. First, we are not closing a congregation. Rather, this is an invitation to everyone who's currently part of this 6 p.m. congregation and to everyone who's currently part of 10:30 to move forward together, to join forces, to live out unity in Christ and in his body. Second, in terms of how church will run, this future framework will involve almost as much change for the people who are currently part of 10:30 as for all of us who are part of 6 p.m. Because we envisage that the United Congregation will meet sometime on Sunday morning, and Mike will say a bit more about that, there is still one big impact on people here, and that is that the time we attend church on Sunday will move from evening to morning. It's because of this biggest impact being on 6 p.m. people that the first place and the first time that this new framework is being made public is here tonight. We wanted to bring it to you people first. But if this meeting tonight is serious and challenging and exciting, then there are also serious and challenging and exciting times ahead for the current morning church people. the new United congregation will be significantly and importantly different from the current 1030 congregation. It will mean changes for all of the current 1030 people, as well as for us. Some changes that we can understand already and can plan and prepare for in the weeks and months ahead, but we guess there'll also be benefits and challenges that no one could foresee. Now, Mike will speak to us about implementation.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, one united and missional church community, building up one another to maturity in Christ and fostering relationships beyond our community for the sake of the gospel. That's really the framework. United and missional. Better equipped, if you like, to build up one another and better equipped to reach out beyond our community. Now, when it comes to the specific implementation of this, we've really worked hard to find what we think is a clear, a compelling and a realistic framework for our community at 6 p.m. But at the same time, we've also chosen not to be too specific or to define all the specifics as to how exactly this will be implemented. Now, as a team, we've tried to think up all the issues and the problems and the opportunities so that we can factor them into our thinking. But we are a community. Church is a community. Christ has given to each of us here different gifts, different skills, different abilities. He's given us wisdom out to how we can best build up each other and move forward. So I think as we look to the future, we will actually need to get input from each of us, from all those who are involved in our community life in various ways and in our different ministries in various ways, to think through how to implement this framework. Now, the first thing that we really want to say at this point is that we are only too keenly aware that the four of us are all men. And we are all in a very narrow demographic. And can we just say we're aware of this? It wasn't deliberate. That's actually just something that came out of the AGM last year with those who were appointed to lead 6 p.m. Okay. That said, moving forward, we are also keenly aware that the team that implements this will need to be more diverse than just us. Okay, and so in the coming weeks, we'll seek to have that implementation team put in place so that in the coming months ahead, sometime in the coming months, we can work towards implementing this framework. Now, that said, I really just wanted to, if you like, paint for you just five broad brushstroke pictures as to what a united and missional community will mean for us as 6 p.m.ers. And the first thing I want to say is that it won't look like 1030. Okay, it won't look like 1030. It won't even look like the combined services that we've had in the past. We are creating a new service, taking the best of 6 and the best of 1030 and putting them together. Now, in some respects, we actually think that the service will look more like 6 p.m. in many respects than any other service. And the reason that is because we think that 6 p.m. has actually been the best so far in moving forward in trying to implement our goals of having great preaching, great music, and great community. I think the biggest difference is that we will have a broader and a healthier and a more diverse community. But that means that the biggest change that we need to make in order to achieve that diversity is that the service is going to have to be held in the morning. See, if we're going to do this for the whole community, then we have to do it at a time of day that at least has a shot at working for the whole diversity of our community. And realistically, that can only be in the morning. But it doesn't have to be 10:30. But can I also say, it's not just because of little kids. Children all the way up to the end of high school really can't do church at night. And people, once they kind of get out of the young adult phase, typically they don't want to do church at night either. So if we're going to do, if you like, church for the whole community, we have to do it at a time that actually at least has a shot for working at working for everyone. But the implementation team will work out exactly when in the morning that would be best. Secondly, we think that this framework has obvious benefits for our music ministry. See, rather than stretching our resources across two gatherings, we can unite our energies, and it will mean that some people just won't be so stretched. It'll mean that we really can just together keep moving from good to great music as a church. But it is also going to mean that those involved in leading the music ministry are going to have to think through some new questions. Questions like, well, how do we choose music that is best for the diversity that we're meeting with? Now, actually, if those of you have been to 10:30, I don't think it's actually going to be that different. It may mean learning a few more Colin Buchanan songs. I can teach you them all. It's okay. But there are just things like that. I think a bigger issue and a bigger danger for us to think through is, as we unite the music ministries, is how can we make sure that everyone who wants to serve in music ministry can still find a place on the teams? One thing that has been so good at 6 p.m. in the past 18 months has been that those people have just stepped up, and people have grown in their desire and their capacity to serve us musically, and we want that kind of thing to keep happening in the years ahead. Thirdly, as a united community, we get to stay together, but we also get to enrich our relationships. See, there will be more people, if you like, for us to look up to, and there will actually also be more people looking out for us. On the flip side, there will also be more people for us to look out for, and more people that will be looking up to us. Younger people who will look to us to try and figure out what it might look like for them to be a Christian in the years ahead of them. In some ways, I think the community will look like other people building us up to maturity in Christ for the years ahead of us, and us building other people up to maturity in Christ for the years ahead of them. But fourthly, with this diversity of ages and with the increased size of the congregation, can I say, I think it is a really exciting opportunity and an exciting time for both kids and youth ministries. See, kids and youth in churches need people to look up to that are not their parents. They need people that they just see week in, week out. Someone that will just smile at them, say hello, remember their name, maybe kick a ball occasionally out in the yard. Someone that they can just tell a joke to. You know, all those things are part of being a healthy community. But having a united church will also mean that the people who do serve in children and youth ministries, that means that they won't have to come twice on a Sunday anymore. However, and it is a big however, it'll also mean that we need to do some careful thinking about how we can make sure that those who do serve in children's and youth ministry, how we can make sure that they do still get to spend a majority of the time in with us in the church. We do not want anyone coming to church who has to spend most of their time throughout the year out with the kids. As such, we suspect that it will mean that we need just to change the way we do some things. It'll probably mean we'll just need more people serving in these ministries, but doing it less frequently. But can I say, it is actually exciting that, but we just need to work out, and we need the right people involved working out the best way to implement it, just like with our music ministry. Now, fifthly and finally, We will be a united and a missional community. See, not only will we be better equipped to build up each other, we'll also be better equipped to reach out beyond our community together. Now, as we thought about it and researched this, and we realised that the primary mission field that really each of us have is to people that are like us. Those that, as John said, that we dance with, that we work with, our colleagues, our friends, our family members. Now, what that means is that our mission fields themselves don't specifically influence the time of day that we do church. By and large, the more critical factor when it comes to church is the question as to what kind of church will we be comfortable and happy to bring our friends and our families into. And with that in mind, we think that having one united service with great preaching, great music, and a great united community that is more vibrant and more diverse, we think that will help us to confidently build relationships beyond our community. That will help us to introduce our friends and families to Jesus and to introduce them to his people. See, this is a vision of being one community that is missional. But can I say, it really is a vision for all of us, and it's also a vision for each of us here at 6 p.m. We also really honestly think that this is the only framework moving forward that can help us stay together as a community, as each of us experience different life stages over, you know, both now and in 5 years and in 10 years and in 15 years. It is a biblical framework for doing church, and it is also a pastoral framework. We think that this is actually the best framework for each of us. But we also acknowledge that that involves change. Can I say, we have agonized over this. We have felt this. We appreciate that sometimes change just is hard, and we get that. But we also know that sometimes change is necessary, and sometimes change is inevitable. But more than that, we also think that sometimes change really can be for the best, and we believe that this one is. Now, we also know that we're all going to respond to this in different ways. We're going to have different feelings, different thoughts. For some of us, it's going to take us a long time to process it. Process it emotionally, process it, what we think about it. For others, it just won't be able to come soon enough. Okay? Whatever you're feeling, we want you to know that that's okay to feel that. We want to work through that together. In particular, if you have any real issues or concerns, or you just want to talk it through, we're available to talk. I would love to sit down and have coffee with any of you, either individually or in groups, okay? Because we want to do this well. But we have to be real. And we have to give ourselves the time we need to process, to think through, so that we can do it together. But can I say that my prayer, and indeed our prayer as a team, it is a prayer that has literally been accompanied with many tears. It's a prayer that has been accompanied with much pleading before our Heavenly Father, because we love you guys. We do. But our prayer is that we will indeed become and continue to become a united and missional church community that gets to continue to grow through life together, where we can continue to build up one another to maturity in Christ, both now and in the stages ahead of us. And that it'll be a community where we really can just grow together to foster those relationships beyond us as a community for the sake of the gospel, which means for the sake of those who don't yet know Christ, those who don't yet have hope. But we're optimistic and we're hopeful. And so our prayer is that we will become all this more and more in love, that we will grow in love together, and that we will grow together for the glory of God.